All the Broken Things by Lilu Wrights, read by Juniper Phoenix. They don't talk about what happened at Guangyin Temple. They never talk about anything, really. When they dock at Lotus Pier, Jinling climbs silently ashore, one hand still clutching the bandage to his throat. The wound must have healed by now. It had stopped bleeding before they even boarded the boat. But Jiangcheng is reminded of Jinling as a small child, the way he had clung to his toys for comfort after a nightmare, and leaves him be. Jinling used to cling to him, too, but he hasn't done that in many years now. "Take a bath," Jiangcheng tells him, "and go to bed. I'll send for a healer to look at you in the morning." Jinling juts his chin, defiant. "I don't need a healer. Look, it's fine already." Jiangcheng takes his face in his hand and tilts it to catch the moonlight. Already, the wound has faded to a thin pink line, no longer beaded with blood. As a child, Jinling had cried over lesser injuries, but now he stands firm, dark-eyed with compounded pain, an adult expression on such a young face. Jiangcheng wants to hold him. Instead, he says, "You stupid boy, do you want it to scar? Do as I've told you." For once, he listens. Fairy follows at his heel, a silent presence, and Jiangcheng hopes that she at least will offer comfort in the ways he cannot. The moment he is out of sight, Jiangcheng feels his legs give way beneath him. He's shaking, exhausted in every sense of the word, and he sinks against a pillar and forces down the familiar rush of breathlessness. That's the problem with pain. It can't be ignored forever. It sours inside you, turns dark and bitter until it bleeds into everything like resentful energy. Jinling is only a child. He's too young for this kind of poison. But he has no choice, because Jiangcheng has once again failed to protect those he loves. Forcibly, he straightens up with a long exhale. What if the night guards were to see him like this? "You are a sect leader," he scolds. "Get a grip on yourself." He already knows he won't sleep tonight, but he walks to his bedroom and stands for a long time at the window, looking out over the darkened courtyard. This is the home he had built from the ashes all those years ago, so hauntingly familiar. Children play in this courtyard now. Disciples train. The plum tree blossoms and falls bare. Life has forced itself up through the cracks. It's different nowadays to how it once was, just as Jiangcheng is a different person. But some things will always remain the same. It comforts him sometimes to stand here and watch, to know that, of all the broken things in the world, this he has managed to fix. Mindlessly, he wanders the empty corridors, watching as pale moonlight casts shadows on the walls. He remembers running through these halls. Not these halls, but the ones before. Shrieking with joy, fighting his brother with wooden swords in the endless summers of their childhood. His jaw tightens. Jinling had never played like that. He had no brother to play with. And every time Jiangcheng saw him, this small, headstrong child with his mother's eyes, he had felt such a blow of grief that he had shut himself away. His love for Jinling is raw and chafing, like a wound that reopens before it can heal. It hurts for both of them. Out on the waterfront, he sees a familiar figure. He shouldn't be surprised. This is where Jinling had come to sulk as a child. It's where Jiangcheng had often come, too, on his worst days. His instinct is to turn back. Surely Jinling wants to be alone, but something stops him. There's no such thing as being alone in grief. It ripples out like water disturbed by a breeze and touches everyone in its path. Solitude is easy, but it doesn't help. He knows that well enough. In his lifetime, Jiangcheng has made many, many mistakes. This, at least, he wants to get right. "Aling." Jinling glances at him as he approaches. He isn't crying, as Jiang Cheng had expected, but his eyes are dark and swollen. In his white undergarments, his hair plaited over one shoulder, he looks painfully young. Neither of them speak. Jiang Cheng eases himself onto the pier beside him, close enough for their shoulders to almost touch, and lets his feet hang in the water. It's cold at this hour, and they almost immediately go numb, but he doesn't complain. He'll sit here for as long as he needs to. "I thought he loved me," Jinling whispers, his voice as fragmented as the moon on the water. Jiang Cheng swallows. "Sometimes the people who love you can hurt you the most." "Then how do I stop it hurting?" He shakes his head, wills away the emotion rising in his throat. He will not cry. Not for Jinling, for the betrayal that will forever mark his ascent to adulthood. Not for the things he should have done and the things he has, for all the people he has left broken by his own brokenness. Not for the overwhelming love with nowhere to go, the love that ferments into sorrow. "I don't know," he says. And then, because it's something he should have said long ago, "I'm sorry, Aling." Jinling looks at him. He doesn't tell him there's no need to be sorry. That would be a lie. But he nods, and a single tear slips down his cheek. Then, in a way he hasn't done since he was very young, he rests his head on Jiang Cheng's shoulder. Dawn comes slowly, and with it, the end of Jinling's childhood. Come morning, he'll be stepping up to lead the broken Jin sect, charged with fixing problems that were never his fault. Jiang Cheng had done the same at his age. He knows he isn't enough to take the pain away. He isn't enough for Jinling in countless ways. But this time, at least, he can bear some of the burden. So, as the water turns orange and yellow and pink, and Jinling's head leans heavier on his shoulder, he allows himself to breathe. Perhaps he isn't strong enough to stop the past repeating itself. The aftermath of tragedy is far from over. But there are some things he can fix. So, for now, he guides Jinling's head to his chest and holds him until morning. The end.